It's good to have some different people up here from time to time, give some testimonies. And so if you kind of see what happened today, there'll probably be a couple of guys I'm going to go searching for here after service. You will probably get a little bit more time to prepare if you want than what these ladies did. But it is all good, right? By the way, how many mothers do we have in the house? I want y'all to stand up for just a moment. Awesome. Okay. Very good, very good. And I'm sure we'll deal with something here later. And, well, normally when I do Mother's Day and Father's Day, I just kind of touch a little bit about parenthood, and I just kind of go on. And today I'm going to do it a little bit different. I will soak a lot into the motherhood piece. And, you know, standing here, I'm not a mother, of course, but we'll use God's word today, and so I'm really, God is very systematic. God is very focused. He is very thorough, and he's got a system, and men and women fit in that system, and he has a way that they're supposed to fit in that system. Our society today is trying to change that system. It doesn't work. Just because you hear it does not... I want to just give you a little side note. Just because you hear it in the news does not make it right or true or that's the majority. Okay? All right? I'd rather be in the majority of one, though. I'd rather be in that one part. If it is the Lord's word, I want to stand on that. Let's just say it that way, all right? And so we're going to be in a couple of different books tonight, or this morning. And so we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2 for a minute. We're going to look there. So if you're going to turn over to Genesis chapter 2, there is a place for men and there is a place for women. And we need to learn what those roles are. I will admit to you that I need to continue to grow as a father. And all you mothers, I'm sure you need to grow as mothers as well. There's no perfect mother. There is no perfect father except the Father that we have in heaven. Right? So as we begin that, Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for this day. Lord, as we begin to break into your word, we thank you, Lord, for it. We do thank you for the word and the song this morning. We still have one more we're probably going to sing later. And we want to lift it up to you. We want to lift your name up in that song. But Lord, right now we're going to be in your word. We pray, Father, Lord, your spirit would open our hearts and our minds to focus on what you would have for us today, especially the mothers and the young women, the women in this building today, that they may learn from you and your word. Amen. Amen. So, anyway, Alex, I'm ringing up here a lot. I don't know if that me or is that just the system. All right, let's work on that. Well, we know this, that God created the heavens and the earth and all that was in it. And we're going to look in Genesis chapter 2 for a moment. And I love it because God has a good plan from the beginning. He's got a great plan in the end. The book of Genesis is the beginning, and the book of Revelations is the end to a new beginning. And it's all good. It is all good. But we see a piece here in Genesis chapter 2. And this whole beginning here, it says in verse 18, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone." So God saw that it was not good for a man to be alone. He says, "I will make a helper as his complement." I want to remind you, we're going to get into some things. I'm not being hard. I just want to be biblical today. That the man is to be the leader of his home. We'll get there in just a little bit. And the woman there is to be a helper and a complement to him. It is not my words. It is God's words. When we get that out of place, we get it all out of place. Okay? But he has a plan here. And then he begins to say this. He says, now, in verse 21, he says, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, this one, is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and this one will be called woman," because he was named all the other things in the earth, and all those living creatures, and this one here he names the woman, "for she was taken from me." So we know that the woman was taken from the man's body. But he goes to this in verse 24. "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. Both the man and his wife were naked, and they felt no shame. I like that part where it says they were both naked and they felt no shame, because there was no shame to be. There was no shame. There was no sin at that time. They were to be what they were created to be. And they were companions to one another. And they lived with each other. And they were one together. Today we see a society that says you can do all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, when we start wanting to put in what I think, my opinion, what I feel it should be, those things do not trump God's word. And we see that people are doing that. Our society is a whole, we are just a mess in America. And what we feel, what it should be right. We feel whatever Americans think the world should get. You know, the world gets some things much better than we do. You understand that? The world gets a lot more things, even biblically, better than we do at times. This is not a jump on homosexual or lesbian or transgender pieces today, but I will tell you, when the Lord talks about those things, let's just put it real easy, it isn't good. If you choose that lifestyle, I'm telling you, it isn't good. God's not going to ask you your opinion. He's put His word in place. Okay? So let's move on. We're talking about mothers today, wives today. We're talking about those special places. You young ladies, one day one man's going to come up to you and he's going to try to sway you to marry him, to ask you to marry him. And in that, you're going to have to make one of the most biggest decisions of your life. And in that way, it is going to be, it's a big decision. But today I know that we have women that have been divorced today. We have women who are widows today. We have women who have went through some things today or in their life that today they stand and they have some regrets. We know we have, you know, there are women who have had women or had babies out of wedlock. But what I'm going to tell you today, that God is a great forgiver. Amen. God loves the ladies. He loves the men. He loves His creation. And if you turn over to Proverbs 31, I'm not going to pick on it forever. I haven't been over here for a long time in this chapter. Many women say, I just can't be that. It is the perfect woman. It is, how can I ever be that? Don't think of it as the perfect woman, because there are some things in here that you don't do. Maybe you are not a knitter. Maybe you are not a person who works with your hands. Maybe you're a person who works with your mind at work. Maybe you don't sew. Maybe you don't do those things. In here, there's a lot of that going on. But there's some things in here I think the ladies can look at. And, you know, it's last week, as you turned over to Proverbs 31, last week we were talking about Malachi, and there was a big problem. We didn't get into it, but in the times of Malachi, we did briefly, but men were just taking their wives and divorcing them just like that, because a wife could not divorce her husband. I don't know if you know that, but back in this time, a wife could not divorce her husband. Okay, so the wives were just like, when she'd get old, she'd be wore out, like, I'm done. Gonna go get me a younger wife. Gonna go get me one that's more successful. I'm done. Gonna trade him in like we do cars. And that, I'll tell you what, that upset God very, very, very much. He was very displeased on how the husbands were treating their wives. And He called them out on it. But in chapter 31 of Proverbs, we see here a piece that is, we think sometimes that Proverbs was kind of written all by, that all the stuff was from Solomon, but they all weren't. But here's a piece here that we see from the king, Lemuel, however you want to say his name, an oracle in verse 1 that his mother had taught him. These are some things that his mother, this king's mother, had taught him. I hope that you know that your mother has taught you more than what you think. Your mother has taught you more than what you think. We're not going to go through this whole piece. We're just going to skim through a few verses, and then I want to finish up in another place. But he says in verse 3, she's telling her son this. So men, pay attention. Some of this is a little bit about men today too. Don't spend your energy on women. Now, there was something in there. I was like, when I first read that, I was like, what? But then I began to look at it. It was not don't spend your energy on a woman, but don't spend your energy on women. We are only supposed to have one. Okay, we're only supposed to have one. And I know biblically, in theology, we can get into this thing about what happened back then. And this guy had three wives and this one had seven. I want to tell you, God made Adam and Eve. Not Adam, Eve, and Sarah, but he made one for the other. It was men who messed up those things. Okay? It was men who messed up those things. All right? We said, don't spend your energy on women or the efforts of those who destroy kings. So we see that if we look at this, we can see that King Solomon, we also know that King Solomon really messed up with all the wives that he had. They turned his heart to other gods. But we need to pay attention to that part, gentlemen, that we need to look at, we need to listen, and we need to, let me stop for a minute. Sometimes we know that when we're growing up and we're 16, go back to when you were 15, 16 for a minute, if you can go back that far. Some of us might be a little more. But when you were sitting there thinking about that girl over there, she's the one I want to, I really want to date her. Or he's the one I really want to date. And how many of you had a parent that kind of got involved in that and said, no, I don't think so. That's not the one. You need to stay away from that. You need to stay away from her. You need to stay away from him. And so, but there is wisdom. How many of y'all took your parents' advice and stayed away from one of them and saved yourself from heartache, right? Saved yourself from heartache? No? I want to tell you this. Some of our heartache is mostly on our own choices, the repercussions from our own choices. But again, I will keep reminding you that thank God for God's grace and his forgiveness today. Okay? Because what we do is sometimes we listen and we listen to our parents and we don't want to listen to them, one, because they're parents, but number two, because our parents screwed up maybe too, right? Maybe our parents screwed up too. And we're like, well, I don't want to listen to them. But there is due respect in some of that as well. Verse 10, it says, who can find a capable wife? Who can find a wife of quality? Okay? Who can find a wife of quality? She is more precious than jewels. You can't buy the wife that you're looking for. A wife of quality is not, when you're young, we see a great piece in there, in scriptures where it talks a lot about the looks and those things. When you're young, we are all gravitated toward God to give us eyes, and we're supposed to look, but we're supposed to do it within the parameters of God's word. And we are attracted to the opposite. We should be. And so, but that needs to be controlled. And what happens here, we say this is a capable wife. Is this of quality? But it's not all about looks. It's what that person is about. I'm going to tell you right now that if you are a believer, you need to pick a person who is also a believer. But I also remind you, sometimes believers can have a mess. So it isn't just go out and pick a believer. You need to be wise when you pick one. You need to be wise when you have one. You need to pray about it. You need to have God. I believe that as a person, you need to have God's stamp of approval on it. No, it's his will that's the one that you should marry. And because it is supposed to be a lifetime decision. It's a lifetime choice. Now, verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trusts her. So that part of that quality is he says, I trust her with everything. I can trust this woman. I can trust her personally with the things and the thoughts of my heart and my mind. I can trust her with my assets, my family, everything that I have. Because when you're dating, everything is yours and everything is hers, or everything's his and everything is yours, whatever it may be. But when you get married, everything comes together. Okay, we become one, and we work through that, and there's a trust that begins to happen. With your spouse, we know that there should be a trust that you'd be able to share things with that spouse that you share with no one else. In words, okay, conversations. It says here in verse 12, she rewards him with good and not evil. Verse 13, she selects wool and flax. That kind of might not work with you today, but a different way. And works with willing hands, which means I'm going to put into this family as well. I'm not just going to be a taker. I'm going to put into this family as well. And so she's a wife that has a lot of influence in the marriage. A wife that has influence in the marriage in a positive way. Okay? We know that we all come to church sometime and we ain't the happiest camper. All right, little kids will run through and they can turn on their smile and it's a real deal. I mean, they can get through it, they get out of the car and they're running up to Sunday school, they're wanting ready to go to children's church, but we as married couples, sometimes we know how to put a mask on and we can fake everybody else out, okay? And so what happens is we struggle through that at times. And what happens is marriage is this, marriage problems is this. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make it real simple. I've been married 32 years, but I'm going to make it real simple. It's two people. Supposed to be one, but two people with two different ideas, two people wanted it their way. When two people want it something different and they want it their way, this one wants it this way, this one wants that way, that's why we have clashes. That's a lot of the problems that we have. It's two people. Here it is. A wife has a lot and positive influence into the marriage. Verse 17, she draws on her strength. She knows who she is. Okay, she knows who she is, and she strengthens those areas and she uses them. And it's okay to have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. God's created us to lean on one another in our marriage. And we know we should do that. Her hands reach out to the poor in verse 20, and she extends her hands to the needy. She finds out that as she gets older, that life is not all about me and my husband. Life is not all about me and just my kids and my grandkids. But you know what? I need to learn how to love on some other kids. I need to learn how to work with people that are in need. She becomes an asset to the community, not just in her own family, but into the community. Verse 27, she watches over the activities of her household and is never idle, which means she sees that her part is done well. She knows her part. She knows her part. This is not downing women, but she knows her part, just like men should know their part. And we see here it says her sons, or her, you can put in their daughters, rise up and they call her blessed. Listen, you'll know when your kids come back to you and say, thank you, Mom, for those things. Thank you. Even though there was times when you've had to yell at them, you've had to punish them, you had to get in their face from time to time. Kids don't truly believe it, but sometimes it hurts us more as parents than it does them as children to say no. But parenting is very tough, especially in today. I don't know really how you guys put, I don't know how kids really go to school anymore. I don't. It just scares me to death the way these school systems are. And I'm not talking about just the shooters and those kind of things. I'm talking about the other kids. How the kids don't give respect to the teachers. How the kids could just run wild and sit there and be on buses and disrespect bus drivers and disrespect and have attitude. And then there's a fight. Everybody just wants to film it and put it on the screen. And nobody has any heart for that kid over there that's getting his butt beat up. And so it's horrible. It's treacherous. I'm blank when it comes to the school systems in America. I am blank. But I am thankful that we do have school systems. I just think we're just doing them wrong. And it don't need to be my way, but something needs to change on it. I was amazed and also, I was amazed that when me and Carla went on our on that scouting trip, we did stay at the slave family, just forgot their names, down in Mississippi. And she is a teacher. And, Dabney. And actually, they'll be here in July. She's a teacher, and she said that, we have problems, but this is what we do. The parents will sign a piece of paper, and when the parents sign a piece of paper, they still give swats. If you know what a swat is, I had one of them. They still swat them kids in school. I'm like, yeah, because sometimes them kids need it, right? And here it is. I said, what do you do when they don't? Well, they sign a piece of paper, and then what we do is we call the parents at work and say, you need to come get them. Boy, Fort Wayne needs to get on that. I'm telling you, he get on that agenda. But we know that lawsuits and all those kind of things come up. I'm telling you, the world is trying to change us how we are as parents. The world is trying to change us on how we even relate and our relationships with one another. And they're just really trying to make it different. We need to stick with the Word of God. Wives, moms, I want to tell you, when you're struggling as being it, you need to go to the Word of God. And I get it, sometimes it's like, man, this whole list is like a list of the perfect woman. This is the guideline of what we should learn on it. We should learn on it. You're not going to be perfect, but I'm telling you, anytime you draw close to Jesus, it's always better. It's always better, okay? So, we know that the family honors her. Her name is lifted up, okay? But many women are capable, but you surpass them all. This, men, should be our attitude about our wives. We should be able to say that our wife is capable. She surpasses them all, saying, I know other men have a great wife. They may have a great wife, but I love mine. I cherish my wife. I love my wife. We should have that attitude. Even though we know that she's not perfect, we look in the mirror and we know that we are not perfect. Sometimes, gentlemen, we need to be a little more patient with our wives. Sometimes, wives, you need a little bit more patient with your husbands. Because if this can cool down an argument or a fight before it starts, it's good. It's really good if we can do that. Sometimes we need to bite our tongues. Amen? I'm not getting any amens this morning. Amen? All right. So, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Listen, ladies, I know you all love to take care of yourself. You make the world a better place. But we all start turning gray. Even me. I see pictures of myself when we started New Life Fellowship and I had no gray hair. I was, oh yeah, this is great. 18 years later, something like that, I've got more than a few. Ladies, this is why God says make your beauty inward. Because that never goes old. If you keep your beauty inward, inward focus, the beauty that you are inward, where your treasure is, there's your heart, will be also that you can love others that may not look like yourself, that may not be like you. So charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the rewards of her labor and let her works praise her at the city gates. It isn't just that we as husbands will boast upon our wives from time to time. It isn't that we as children will boast about our moms at times. But it is that sometimes when you're doing the way that you're supposed to, that the community, that the church cannot help but say, that's a good mom over there. That's a good mom over there. And sometimes some of you, moms look at me now, some of you older ones, how many people have called you mom that are not your mom? Praise God, right? Isn't that a good thing? And they call you mom and you are not their biological mom. Some of you have had that. And then you've been so close to some that when other ones have passed away, your heart was broken like they were your own. When they have died at a young age or way before their time, you've outlived them. And those who've called you mom that are not here today, they just broke your heart. Their death broke your heart. You felt because you felt like a mom to them. How many of y'all can testify to that? Some of you? Yep. I want to come over to Ephesians. I want to bounce over to Ephesians for a moment. We are going to come into this area in chapter 5 for a minute. Some of you know where I'm going, and that's exactly where I'm going. That's exactly where I'm going. Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about wives and husbands, okay? And as you turn there, there's always a lot of research done on parenting. And one of those is that we always find that juvenile delinquency is very, very high when a mother is raising children and the father is took a hiatus. And so what happens is she's trying to raise a child or children. And so she's trying to figure out how to do this. And he's gone. Maybe he's on the scene from time to time. Maybe he's even completely out of the scene. And it makes for a mess, does it not? It makes for a mess. Maybe it was out of wedlock. Maybe it wasn't. But again, thank God for his love, his forgiveness, and his grace. We do it God's way. We're supposed to be married. Then we have our babies. We have our family. God blesses it. But it doesn't always work that way. It works in all kinds of different ways. And God is just such amazing, just an amazing God that he continues to work with us no matter where we are. He loves you where you're at, but he loves you enough not to leave you there. And he's going to work with you. But there's a part here. Oh, can I say this? It's not always his fault. But it's also not always her fault. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's our fault because we're just stubborn-hearted. We're mules. Okay? Amen? I'm going to work with you. I'm going to get this. Amen? I know today some of you have been through a divorce. I know that. And I'm not in your shoes because I've never been there, but I've heard a lot of stories. I've known. This is what I know. People who've been in divorce always have some emptiness and some pain in their hearts. But I want to remind you that God still loves you. Okay. I know some of you parents have had a divorce and it broke your heart and you were angry at one maybe, and then you found out it wasn't that and you thought it was the other one's fault and you have went through that and you were angry at that. And I want to tell you that God still loves you. And I know that some of you have had children that's had a divorce and about broke your heart, because it did break your heart. And I want to tell you, God still loves you. God is still loving broken people, broken families, broken-hearted people. He loves the families that are split. And his hunger and drive is to pull you back toward Him, because He is the only one that can heal that broken heart. Okay? And I want to tell you, just because somebody's been married 32 or 35 years, their marriage is not perfect. Amen? Amen? Been married a while? Amen? We're still trying to get it together. And you know what? I look in the mirror and I figure this. This guy's got a lot to learn. This guy's got a lot to learn. And I want to tell you, the grass is not always greener on the other side. All right? Now, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That is a hard piece that sometimes we don't want to listen to, but I want to tell you, when we don't want to listen to you, it's just flat out rebellious. Okay? It's just flat out rebellion. Okay? Now, people always come up to me after one of these kind of things and say, you don't know what my husband did. You don't know that he beat me. Well, listen, I will tell you this. If you are into a physical abusive relationship, you need to just step out. Separate. If you need to separate, you separate. See if you can work through it. But you need to separate from that so that you don't get yourself hurt anymore. You need safety. God wants you to be safe. We should be safe in our marriages. Amen? But wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. This is when God came through the Garden of Eden, because He loves to walk through the Garden of Eden. When He found out they weren't there, He didn't say, Eve, where are you? He said, Adam, where are you? Eve did not respond. Adam responded, we were naked. And the conversation began between God and Adam. Eve was over there going, oh my, we're busted. And over there, and then there was a piece there where we see that things came down on all three, Adam, Eve, and the serpent. But here it is. The head of the home is the man. And the man is responsible for the spiritual welfare of the home. If she doesn't agree with certain things, and you know it's biblical, you need to keep praying. You need to trust in the Lord as a man, as a woman. If he's not doing his part, you need to be strong and keep sticking. And here's the thing. Always abide by the Lord. Follow the Lord. We need to learn our place in those areas. And I'm telling you today, I haven't even really got super hard into this. But what I've said today is not acceptable in the world. Honestly, is it not? And some of the things I said already, not acceptable in the world. And I want to tell you that there is a place for a man and a place for a woman. And when a woman knows her place, a man knows his place, and the children know their place, it's a good home. Because they'll know that love needs to be in that home. Love and forgiveness. Wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives are to submit their husbands in everything. It is a tough thing sometimes when God calls you to do something. And I did not mean to say this, and I think I can say it without Carla being upset with me or anything. Lord help me. Carla never wanted to be a pastor's wife. How many of y'all know that? Joda knows that. Look at that. Praise the Lord. Okay. She does it out of submissiveness, I believe, the way God wants it. Does she rebel at times? Yes. But do I rebel at times? Yes. We have a thing that works for us, and we're trying to still figure it out. And here it is. I believe that if we chose the way that we wanted to live, we wouldn't be in the church today. We probably would not even be married today. I think we would just be a super mess. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. But God had a plan for us. And I had to work through that. And I said, God, I don't know. Well, Carla is a very, very strong, independent woman. And His simple words was, I can handle her better than you can. And so I said, okay, Lord. And so God is working with her. And there were some things that I was struggling with Carla. And I'm like, I just don't like this independent woman style. What's all with this? And I had to learn that now, here it is. Now she works in the women's life house. You need to be strong and independent and strong to work in there. Right, ladies? Right, Shauna? Okay. All right. So those things, God will use those assets and those characteristics in the right places. So let me read it one more time. How many of you are going to be a wife soon? Okay. Where's the other one? Didn't I see her? Huh? In the nursery. Okay. All right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I will say it like this as well, and I know they don't mind me saying it. These two are going to get married. I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very for Tabitha and Trevor getting married. I'm always happy when they want to do it the right way, the biblical way. I mean, that's just a huge blessing to do. And I just want to say, you know, doing some premarital counseling with these guys here. I won't do premarital counseling with anybody that's older or been through a second marriage. You know what? You got a mind. You're stuck in your ways. I pray you're going to work it out and y'all have a blessed marriage. Because you know how it is. The older you get, the harder it is to adjust that brain. You know, I don't like moving bolts in my brain. I don't like doing that. But I want to say, you know, we know Phil's been called to preach the Word of God. And he preaches from time to time on Sunday nights, usually once a month at least. And he goes through some other classes and things. And I had to be straight up with, you know, Savannah, are you ready for that? Because it comes with the marriage. It's going to come with the marriage. And so, you know, there's some things that she brought up that is, you know, she's going to get with Carla here in a couple of weeks. Just about that pastoral piece. And I said, Carla, you be nice to her. You be nice about this thing. And I believe she will. I believe she will. And I will give her a second warning. I said, don't mess with this girl's head too much. But I want to close with this, guys. I want to close with this. Verse 31, it says, for this reason, once again, we hear this. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. God has an awesome plan. And his way is good. And next thing you know, we're reading about children in Ephesians chapter 6. We start reading about children because the family starts growing. Now, I know that we can laugh. This is kind of a lighthearted piece, but really it is a serious piece. Not everyone here has their kids with them. Not everyone here has all their children alive. Not everyone here has all their children that were married, still married, and so they had to go through some divorce things. Because I will tell you this, when something like that happens in the family, it hurts everybody. A divorce hurts everybody in the family. The marriage piece, the family piece, it's really hard sometimes. It's really hard to go through because our hearts are broken from time. We just get broken. And we're like, sometimes, how many holes can my heart take? How many cuts can my heart take? I just can't take it. It just bleeds out. I want to tell you, there is one that can help you mend that broken heart, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross because he loves you. He loves your spouse. He loves your family. He loves every human being on the face of the earth. That's why he came and he died. So that we would have eternal life with him. And I know that in the Bible it says there are no marriages. I don't understand that, but whatever God has planned up there, it's got to be good. But we're living here today. Some of you are married, some of you are not. Some of you are going to get married, some of you have lost a spouse, some of you lost. We all have loss. And I want to tell you, that loss can eat you up. And keep eating you up. And keep eating you up. Some of you need to learn how to forgive yourself. Sometimes we just need to say, Lord, give me the strength to take another step. Give me grace to move forward. And God, give me a little strength to let go. To let go of my anger and my pain. Let's take it one step at a time. But I want to tell you, down the road, the Bible says the sun comes up in the morning. Joy will rise in the morning. If you don't deal with it, that pain and sorrow will be right with you. Again and again. Again day after day after day. But if you do it with the Lord, there'll be a morning where you'll start to smile. It may not look like a great smile, but you're on the mends of smiling. And you can only do that with the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to have an altar call, and if you want to pray for your wife, you can do that. You can pray as a couple if you want to do that. If you want to pray for your mother, you can do that. If you want to pray and you want to pray, maybe your mother's passed away. Maybe you want to pray for your granddaughters or your own daughter, whatever it may be. I think if you want to pray for your family, that'd be great. Crassus are going to pick up two families are coming together. Your family's going to grow. You guys is going to grow. It's going to feel weird because they might not go to church people. They might not be godly people. But the person they're married is godly, so that's going to... And you know what? That's going to be an influence down the road. That will be an influence down the road. They will hear the gospel, I'm sure. I'm thankful for Mother's Day and Father's Day that we can celebrate them. And God's Word has a lot. We didn't even talk about a lot of it, but we talked about a little bit. And so let's go ahead and stand. We'll give you an opportunity this morning, if you'd like just to come down and pray.